Can we just put Thanksgiving again on our lips like we did earlier, but just thank God for not something that's in your life, but thank Him for an aspect of who He is. So just thank Him for who He is. Maybe it's His faithfulness. Maybe it's His love. Maybe it's His nearness. Maybe it's His mercy. Maybe it's His justice. Just whatever that is, just put that on your lips, just out loud. Let's just tell Him thank you. Thank you for who you are, God. Thank you for how you move. Thank you for your heart. Jesus, thank you for meeting us where we are. Lord, we don't ever want to be a church or a people or an individual that thinks we have you figured out. Thank you that you're mysterious, that you're knowable, but you're yet unknowable, that we can't fathom the depths of who you are and the depths of your heart, the depths of your wisdom. Thank you for walking with us on this journey as we're learning to walk with you. Learning to respond to you rightly in worship. Yeah, Jesus, we love you. We love you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your presence. Yeah, we just bless your name, Jesus. Your name, the name that's above every other name. The name where every knee is going to bow one day and every tongue is going to confess. We just say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Have your way with your children today. We honor you. We honor you. We humble ourselves at your feet. And we want to receive everything, everything that you have for us, Father. Lord, we just receive it right now. Thank you that you're generous, that you give more than we could ever think, ask, or imagine. Way above that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Can we just say, Jesus, you are good. Anybody else feel that? Anybody else? Am I like the only, anybody in the back feel that? Anybody back there? Yeah, yeah. Whew, wow. Thank you guys for leading us so beautifully. Man, that was great. My goodness. What are we supposed to do today now? I don't know. Let's figure this out, Derek. Hey, wow. Last week we talked about honor, talked about generous honor, and it really is the means to which God loves to work through honor. He loves to work His power through honor. And before we get into a little bit of the message today, at least we'll see what happens, but I want us to take a moment and I'll honor some people in the room because tomorrow is Veterans Day, and we want to honor, man, like I said, outdo one another with honor like we talked about last week. But if you're a veteran, could you just stand up for a moment and remain standing here for a second? If you're a veteran, and church, I just want you to look around you right now, and can we give a massive round of applause and honor these men and women? So stay standing. So good. So stay standing. And so, man, we got men and women, beautiful, younger and older, and we just honor you and we thank you. And remember, honor is showing value. So here's what I want you to know from your pastor and from your church is we value not only what you did, but we value you in our community today, all right? So here's what we want to do. We want to pray a blessing, and here's what we want to do. I just been more and more like we are a family first, right? I've just been, we got to get out of this routine, and the rose kind of hurts that a little bit. But so if you're around somebody, and I'm just not even going to ask them, so there's grace. We can give grace later. If you're around somebody, would you just put a hand on their shoulder right now? If you pop up to your feet real quick, just put a hand on their shoulder, and we just want to extend the family right now and pray a blessing. So we got some people up here. I'm just going to pray a short blessing, and as I'm praying this, just pray blessing over this person. Pray favor of God over this person. As we honor them right now, as we walk the path of Jesus and honoring those, Lord, we just thank you for our veterans. We thank you for this great nation that we live in and the freedoms that we so often take for granted. The fact that we can gather together and worship Jesus. We thank you for the freedoms that we have. And we thank you for the men and women that are here today standing that have given a part of their life to serve this country, to go down low, to humble themselves. And we just bless and honor them right now. And I pray connection, I pray favor. I pray that they would recognize our community values them, not just what they've done, but who they are. And so Lord, I pray just, and this would be a season of connection for every veteran, that they would know your love and your insight and your wisdom and your desire for their heart more than anything else in this season. We bless them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen, amen. Can we honor them one more time? Thank you so much, veterans. Man, so good. Hey, so last night I was thinking about the veterans and I'm gonna see what I get into today, but I was thinking about Veterans Day and I kept being drawn to this book, which isn't really a super spiritual book. Anybody ever read Good to Great? Anybody, let me see how many of you read the book Good to Great. If you've never read it and you've got a business mind, if you're a leader, phenomenal book talking about how good companies have gone to great or good or great companies fell off the bandwagon. It's a phenomenal book. It's been around for a long time, Jim Collins. But I kept thinking about this book and there's a story in this book that captivated me. And finally, I was down in the basement praying and preparing last night. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to go to my bookshelf. And thankfully, I found it on my bookshelf. And he tells a story in the midst of this. And this is what I want to share just for a few minutes today. It'll springboard us, I think, in this. During the Vietnam War, there was a man, Admiral Jim Stockdale. Admiral Jim Stockdale. Incredible man, and at some point during the Vietnam War, his plane was shot down, and he ejected out, and he landed in a town or a town for better lack of a better word, and he was taken as a prisoner of war. He was beat up real bad, taken as a prisoner of war. He was in this prisoner of war for 8 years. During that 8 years, he was tortured. 20 times tortured, not just hit, but tortured 20 times in 8 years, without any prisoner right, without no release date, and no certainty as whether he would ever survive. Now, he happened to be the highest ranking member of those that had been captured, had been put in this war camp, and the prospect of them getting out did not look great. And so the author, Jim Collins, he had heard about this guy, and so he asked him to come to his campus, and he wanted to ask him this question: how did you get through when you didn't know what was going to happen? Like what was in you? He was trying to, what was in you that enabled you to, for 8 years, torture after torture, solitary confinement, being used as political pawns, what allowed you to get through it? And this is what he said. This is what Admiral Jim Stockdale said. He says, "I never lost faith in the end of the story." He says, "I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end and turn the experience into the defining event of my life, which, in retrospect, I would not trade." Wow. So Jim Collins, he goes on to, he segues that into a business understanding of this, what he calls the Stockdale paradox. And this is what he says, and this is incredible. And this is way deeper than I think probably even Jim, although maybe Jim's a believer. I'm not going to assume otherwise, but this is what he said. This is the Stockdale paradox, that we have to retain faith that you will prevail in the end, regardless of the difficulties. At the same time, confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. Retain faith that you will prevail in the end, regardless of the difficulties. At the same time, confronting the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they may be. Man, what great insight. And I would say a deep spiritual insight. Because what Admiral Jim Stockdale and what Jim Collins is trying to convey here is, I think, is the word that we're going to look at today, which is the word hope. The word hope. Hope, this word, really simply put, it is a word that means a confident expectation of good. This word does not mean that everything is great in your life today. Can we all just agree with that? So Jesus, who is our hope, he said, listen, in this world, you're going to have what? You're going to have millions of dollars and no problems. Maybe some of us get the front end, but even millionaires, let me tell you, they got plenty of problems, probably more than we'd like to guess. But Jesus says, in this world, you will have what? Trouble. But he said, take heart, because I've overcome the world. You know what that is a signify? He's saying, take hope, take heart, have hope that there is a confident expectation of good. And I love how in Romans 15, 13, we see this incredible verse. And this is what we're talking about, generous hope. He says, may the God of hope, you know that your God, the God that we just sang to, the God that we just experienced through song and through setting our affections on him, that God, he is the God of hope. So that means wherever your God is, wherever God is active and present, there is hope, whether we recognize it or not. He says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy. Come on, Jesus. And peace. We need some of that. In believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, yes, Holy Spirit, come, that you may abound in hope, that you may abound in a confident expectation of good. And that word abound is a word that means exceedingly more. It's a word that means richly and abundantly. This is God's desire for your life, that you would have overflowing joy, that you would receive it, but then you would also give it away. As I was thinking about today and preparing, I came across another story, and I actually heard a pastor share this, and I went and verified it, because you always need to double check pastors sometimes on the stories they shared. But the story was actually not just a story, it was a factual study that a person who was at Johns Hopkins, a professor, his name was Kurt Richter, in the 1950s, he ran this study. Now, I'm going to tell you, this study may not still fly today because of animal, what I'm going to tell you. So don't, this is not me doing the study, okay? So just give me a little grace here, okay? But this professor in the 1950s, he had this study where he grabbed 34 rats, wild rats, that were pretty fierce, and he dropped them in a bucket of swirling water and put a timer on how long they would swim until they drowned. Yeah, that's great, right? It gets better, hang on. So he gathered about 15 minutes, these rats would swim, and then slowly they would just put their head under and they were dead rats, right? If you have a rat trap, don't judge this guy, okay? So 15 minutes. So then he's like, well, that's interesting. He tried to gather some information. And then he grabbed another group of rats, same background, and he brought them in, and he did the exact same thing. He dropped them in a swirling pool of water, dropped them down, he timed them, and as they got to about the 15-minute mark, he started watching them. And as their heads started ducking under the water, he would pluck them out of the water and put them on a table, let them dry off, get them a deep breath, but then almost immediately put them back in the water. Now, how long do you think those rats continue to swim? Maybe an extra 15 minutes? That'd be impressive, double the time. Maybe an hour? These same rats that were in there, that were about to drown, were pulled out, dried off, put back in. They swam for 60 hours. 240 times what the original sample set swam. And his only conclusion, get this professor at Johns Hopkins, his only conclusion in the 1950s, the only thing that was different is those rats had hope that they would be saved. Man, there's something powerful about hope. Something extremely powerful about hope. And hope, you know, I don't get into a lot of, I think it's called acronyms, I'm not sure, maybe it's called something else, but H-O-P-E, I don't get into a lot of those, but once in a while, you know, the Baptist thing comes out of me, and that's not a shot against Baptists. I was a Southern Baptist, it's all right. But this is what I heard somebody say about hope. Hang on, possibilities exist. And maybe you've heard of that before, I'd never heard. I've heard the team, together everybody achieves more, we all had that, right? But hope, hang on, possibilities exist. When we lose hope, we lose sight. There is a possibility that something good could happen in our life. See, the rats that drowned, they had no hope. They didn't see any future. But the ones that were left out, they're like, man, maybe I should keep on swimming because there is a possibility that I'm going to get pulled out of the water again. So here's the good news for us as followers of Jesus. We are the people that have more hope than anybody else in this world. Who needs hope? The world is without hope right now. They're looking at everything for hope. And we are the people that have hope. You know why? Because we serve a God that has endless possibilities. We serve a God that he says, there's nothing impossible with God. We serve a God who walked this earth and he said, listen, it's not possible with man. You can't do it. But with God, a few things are possible. All things are possible. And that means in every situation where we recognize that God is present, which he is, there's hope. There's hope in every situation. Now, as I was studying this word hope and this idea, I kept being drawn back to the reality in the scriptures that there's a hope that's tied to a testimony. That when we hear a testimony of somebody, of a hope that's been fulfilled, it stirs us up to hope for something that has not been fulfilled. And so if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, we're going to look at this real quick. Psalm 78. I'm going to read verse 4, I think, through 7 here. It says, we will not hide from their children, but tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord. It's a testimony. Tell the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that, this is important, this is why they're telling stories, this is why they're telling testimony, so that they should set their hope in who? God. So that they would set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. See, when we hear the testimonies of God and how he has worked in the past, how he's working still in this day, it stirs our hope and our belief that if God has done it in the past, he can do it again today. And so today, I'm going to ask my friend Steve. Steve, why don't you start coming up here? I'm going to introduce you as you come up here. We've got a great honor this morning. We've got my good friend Steve Holdren from Ohio. That's right, he is from Ohio. He was here with us at the men's conference that we did yesterday, which was incredible. And Steve and I, we go way back. We learned a lot about Jesus together. We met in a small group, Kate and I, in a church in Ohio, and we started a men's ministry together in Ohio. We've prayed a lot together. We've traveled to Kenya together, which was super interesting. Oh my goodness, that was awesome.
We did some grassroots homeless ministry.
We did some homeless ministry. We raked a lot of leaves. Yeah. We didn't ask people if we could do that first. Got some, great conversations.
Might have helped somebody steal somebody's furniture from their house by helping them move without asking the right questions.
Yeah, without asking the question. I won't even say a couple other things we've done. We've done some other things. But if you can't tell, Steve, he it has tattoos all over the place. And the good news for Steve is he doesn't pay for a lot of those because he actually owns a tattoo studio. And he's been begging me to get a tattoo since I met him. I haven't done that yet, but maybe one day
But we're going
to
have a staff day here real soon.
Yeah,
it's going to be awesome. So they informed me of that this morning.
So Steve is one of the most generous guys I've ever met. And you know what? We can sit here in this because I want to share
Thanks, brother.
So he's one of the most generous guys I've ever met. He's taught me a ton of what it looks like to love Jesus. In ministry stuff, but also in his job every day. He's tattooing people that are far from the Lord and want nothing to do with them. And so this morning, the picture I have is that there's going to be a wave of hope that floods this room. I didn't want to just hypothetically talk about hope. I wanted to actually encounter hope today. And I believe we encounter hope and we're stirred up hope when we hear testimony of God's faithfulness in the past. And so I've asked Steve to come up here, share a little bit of his story. So can you give us a little snapshot? I mean, we could talk for a couple hours here and that would be easy. So I don't think y'all would want that, but give us a little background that would stir up our hope for how God worked in your life.
Okay, first I'm gonna tell you like where I'm at now. If you knew my heart, you would know this isn't me, that it's only by the grace of God that he's changing my heart and making my heart desire him and to be after him. So please don't think this is, hey, me. But I own a very quality tattoo studio, thank God, as fulfillment of a prophetic word that he gave to me the day after I gave my life back to the Lord. Surrounded by an amazing group of men, lead the men's ministry out of my tattoo studio for about the last 10 and a half years. We've seen hundreds of guys come through and find a place of healing, some for just a brief moment, some have stayed for years and years, and we pour into our community, whether it's just going out and picking up trash so that we can encounter people where they're at, pray with strangers, things like that. God has sent me all over the world. I've got to go, whether on mission or on vacation, which was a desire of my heart, all over the world, and see amazing things. And one thing I want to say is you guys sit in a very special place today. And I'm not saying this to esteem Derek. I don't need to do that. But having been just around his team for a little bit and watching some stuff online, even in like jungles of Africa, deserts of Africa, Haiti, where people have nothing else but hope, I haven't found people who believe that God's Holy Spirit still moves more than the staff here within this church. You guys sit in a very special place. God has his sleeves rolled up and he wants to move in your guys' lives. He wants to move in the situations that are surrounding your family, your loved ones, your friends, your job situations, your finances, your health reports. Like, he wants to move, and you guys have a great group of people here to pray for you, so this is a really good thing. So when I was born, a month after I was born, my father left. I was born to a mom who, she loved us, and she worked and did everything she could to provide food, but she was a pothead. She was weekend drunk, and on the weekends would probably use any other drug that she could. It wasn't unusual for me to be from a young age in some pretty hectic, crazy parties on weekends coming up out. She met my stepdad when I was six, Marine, good man, but also from the Marines, he developed an alcoholic tendency that she only let him do on the weekends. My mom was an undiagnosed bipolar, so there was a lot of mental, physical, verbal abuse in my life growing up. When I was 11, she gave her life to Jesus, and at this point, I already had some deep-seated issues that were seeds that hadn't begun to blossom yet. At about 13, I went completely left of script. Now at 8, I had given my life to Jesus, received the Holy Spirit as a seal for the day of my redemption. I went off script from 13 to 27. I started using drugs heavily. I'd been a thief throughout my teens and was so proud of how good I was at this horrible task. Became a drug addict when I was 17. That lasted till I was 27. No longer stealing, but womanizing and just drugs galore, running with the hippies. My mom died when I was 20. My dad moved to Maryland, and I wasn't even smart enough to know that I didn't have hope. I was lost in this broken world, and I thought, I am not letting anybody tell me how to live. You know, I'm not, and I didn't know I wasn't living. I was dead, man, dead man's bones. And at 27, 135-pound homeless drug addict, I would tattoo people to be able to sleep in their houses, but didn't have a house of my own to go to. As rock bottom as you can get, man, without being completely in prison or completely bad health report, I re-encountered the living God in a creek one night, running from people trying to narc me out for selling drugs, and got down on my knees in the mud and the darkness by myself, where I think that's where it's really supposed to happen. It's in those intimate moments between just you and God, and said, you know what? I believe Jesus is who he said he is. This isn't what life's supposed to look like. You can have every single part of me, but you know what you're getting. If you want to fix it, you fix it. And he did. And so for 3 more weeks, I was a drug addict. And then I had an intense encounter. I couldn't tell you guys in a short period of time about that, but had an intense encounter with the living God. If you want to sit in your seats and think that the Holy Spirit doesn't specifically still move in the powerful ways we see in the Word of God, that he doesn't have all power and all authority to bring things into fruition, to speak out of people, to speak through people, to heal, to do crazy stuff, you're missing who God is. And I had an intense encounter with the living God. All drugs left, drugs, nicotine, everything in one breath, no rehab, no withdrawals, no anything. And then I read this thing that said, be prepared to give an explanation for the hope that resides within you. And so I took that seriously. And that's what led into the rest of everything.
Come on, Jesus, man. It's so good. Man, he's so powerful. Yeah, we can cheer for Jesus on that. And I wish we had time. We could sit here literally hours and talk about. But maybe we'll have you come back sometime to share, because I think it just stirs some hope for maybe some people in this room. But also my thought was today, that tidal wave that I think is going to hit us is even for those that we've given up hope on in our own lives. And in our community, man, we've given up hope on a big segment of our community. And Steve is a living testimony of the power of the Holy Spirit that's still at work today. But as we're talking about living generously, it's not just that we have received the hope. Like, you're a testimony of hope.
Correct.
But you live in such a way, and I want to live in that way, and I want our church to live in a way that we don't just have hope, but that hope overflows to our students at our schools and to our workplaces and to our community. So give us one example of how you carrying this hope from this fulfillment of God to how that overflows in your life with the people you're with.
Okay, so you have a car, but the car doesn't go on its own, right? You got to put fuel in this car. So Ephesians says that you were created for good works that were prepared in advance for you to walk through. What fuels that is your hope that's in Christ. So I had a guy that I had been tattooing him and his wife ever since their chihuahua died and she wanted a portrait. And they had three hectic young boys and they didn't know Jesus, but by their idea, they were good
people. By the way, I never
know
what Steve's going to say. We haven't talked about this at all. So give me some grace. No, just shrug it.
That's real. They had three hectic young boys, but they didn't have hope. They didn't know Jesus. And I'd talk to them inside the tattoo booth because they can't get away. But they keep coming back. I think that's one of the reasons God's gifted me, is so that people will want to come back. And anyways, it's crazy. So I told them about the youth ministry at our church, and they thought free babysitter, right? So on Wednesdays, they'd bring their kids in, free babysitter. So I invited him to church. He came once, didn't come back for a while, but I was aware of his life, and Christmas was coming, and they was having a very rough year. And he would put on his fake smile, and he'd have his wall, but I could see right through it. And I went to our church, and I said, hey, I know this guy. His kids come to our youth group, and man, they're up against a wall right now, right? So a week or two later, church gets a hold of me and says, hey, we have some stuff for that guy. Come get it. Mm-hmm. And so I went and I picked it up. Now, he was playing adult dodgeball in a league across town and excited about it. So I knew where he was at, and I went over there, and it was like toys and stuff and clothes and stuff for their kids, but then it was some gift cards for Kroger for food and gas and for Walmart, because they wanted to get their kids any more gifts. This was right before Christmas, and I went in and I got him, and he came out and he sat in the car, and I hadn't gone through the stuff, but I knew kind of what it was, and I said, hey, man, our church just really wants to bless you. They just know that you're up against a wall right now, and they want to make this a little easier. And this man just sat there and just started just breaking down, bawling in my car. And he hadn't even looked at the numbers on the gift cards or anything. It was this act of love and generosity that's not coming from the world, right? The world, it's not coming from the world. And that man gave his life to Jesus. Him and his wife are faithful to serve, faithful to attend. She's 38, he's 39. They just had their 20th wedding anniversary. I had the honor of doing their reunion vows. Mm-hmm. And now they're just praying over their kids, because they've kind of damaged their kids through this life, but they have hope that God really is going to be faithful to his promises, and that their kids are going to endure and they're going to love Jesus.
Yeah. So for all of us, as we recognize the hope that we have in Christ, we're going to leave here. Most of us are going to go to some kind of job, maybe this afternoon, maybe Monday. What's just one key for us to say, hey, we want to be a people that not only have hope, but give hope away? What would be one key as we walk it out as his children?
What's your prayer life look like? I would pray daily. One, I don't believe people really come to Christ much without people being faithful in prayer over them. But another thing is that to pray, like, God, make me change in your pocket and spend me as you see fit. I believe the practical and the supernatural meet together in this world as we walk in flesh, but in spirit, right? And I believe everything's practical and supernatural. So if you're praying daily, God, make me change in your pocket and spend me as you see fit and give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Make me sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Then your spirit man's going to start saying, I want to be spent, right? I want to be used. I want to be used by God. I want to know that I hear from him, and I want to have an opportunity to see him move in people's lives so that my faith is increased and my hope is increased, because it's when you see God move, yeah, they're experiencing the living God, but you're experiencing the living God, and now your hope goes up and up and up and up.
So ask for opportunities. I love it. Can we honor Steve real quick? So Steve, I'm going to actually have you pray. So we're going to sing one last song here before we head out, but I'm going to invite you to stand. I just want Steve just to pray over our church, just the spirit of hope, and that we would not only receive it today, but that tidal wave would hit us today, but that we would be agents of hope as we go, and that we would be able to give testimony to what God is doing, and that we would see one person by one person transformation. We'd see the lights come on. We would see life return and restore. And just pray that over our church, everybody here. So if that's you, if you like want hope, man, just receive as the Lord moves, even through this next song.
Heavenly Father, God, Holy Spirit, we just invite your presence more and more and more. There's always more of you. God, we just invite you into this place again, more, God. Lord, I pray over these people, over these minds and these hearts. God, there are so many burdens in this room right now. God, there are parents mourning the loss of children in this room. There are parents worried about the kids they haven't talked to in years in this room. God, there are people struggling with PTSD in this room. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just waft across these people. God, I pray that you would bring into their account through the day more people that are symbols of hope to them, that this encounter this morning won't be quickly lost. God, I pray that you would empower these disciples of Jesus Christ, empower them, wake them from their restful slumber, God, that you would send them into this broken world filled with your Holy Spirit, sensitive to your Holy Spirit, that your Spirit would give them utterance, that they would be in shopping centers, God, that they would be getting their car fixed, Lord, that you would break cars down just to get them to the mechanic that needs to hear about your love, God, and that we would want that we would have a desire, that you would use everything we got, God, for your glory and your power. Lord, where there's sickness in this room, I pray for healing in Jesus' name, and that healing would bring you glory, God, that it would help reconcile people back to you. God, for those that are desperate right now, desperate, God, I ask that you would wrap your loving arms around them, and that you would show them that you see them, that you hear them, and that you're not far off, God, but that you're close. And so we just pray for hope, Lord, hope to be the restoration and hope of your love in this generation, God, over these people. And so, God, that's our expectation. And God, we're believing in nothing less because we can stand on your promises because you're good. And so we thank you and we praise you in the powerful and precious, precious name of Yeshua. In Jesus' name, amen.